this is messed up, and that's got to do this, got to do that. And we run this tape all day long. That's our unconscious mind. And without any awareness on it, what happens is it takes over and imagines all kinds of horrific things. You know, what happens if a tornado comes, or if the hurricane comes this season, you know, and we think up all of these things and invent more tensions than we have already. So watching your mind is the key. That's all meditation is watching the mind and letting go of tension. So if you can just practice this, and I think we're in an age now where enlightenment is actually here. You know, it is here, more so than ever before. And I often thought about calling this, my meditation course is BYOB. And that's bring your own Buddha, or be your own Buddha. Because that's really, ultimately, it's always down to you. You know, and so much we've heard through all of the great teachers, Jesus, I think, even said, the kingdom of heaven is within, right? And what's he talking about? Well, it's the only place you're really going to be at ease is when you look inside. You know, the only place you're really going to be at home is inside. You know, it's not out there. You can't buy it at a lecture. You cannot get it through a book. You can't get it in a course. You can't get it from Deepak Chopra or any of these people. They can point the way, but it's not the same. The experience you just had sitting there, that's all you got to do. It's yours. You own it. Enlightenment is yours. All you have to do is let go of the tension in the voice in the head that's telling you you're not all of these things, and just allow yourself to be as you are, relaxed. When you're that, you are back in the source. And the word God today is a bad word, really. You know, I mean, if you say it, you almost have to look around and see how people are reacting to it, you know, right? It's because so many people have put their interpretations on it over the years. What is God, you know? And the more you try to define it, the more trouble you get in. So it's not really, let's just get rid of the word, you know, and just find our own peace inside of us, you know, because each one of us are a little piece of that. A little piece of that. Imagine this, the whole universe. Where does it come from? You know, everything has a beginning and an end, right? Everything. I mean, the universe, boom, Big Bang. Well, where did the Big Bang come from? Came from somewhere, right? So nothing and stillness are much more important than we can give them credit for with our minds. Nothing and stillness are the two most important things. They're very similar, and even again, it's a word like God. It doesn't really express it, you know. You can't put a word on it. It's a feeling of well-being. You are the creator. You know, you don't realize it, but you all are. We've forgotten who we are, and we think our lives are these little things. But I want you to do another little exercise with me right now. And just close your eyes for a second. And I want you to go back in your memory a little bit. Go back to when you were a child and some of your earliest memories of when you were in school and with your friends and playing and your mom and dad. And then I want you to go back further to when you were born. Now, here's the sticky part. Try to remember, who were you before you were born? Did you have any problems? What happened? What's your first memories? You know, as you came into being, into this body, and started to have these experiences, then you started to accumulate who you were, right? I became Steve Gillum, a boy. Good at this, not good at that, this, that, you know, and we keep layering all these things on, but when you really go back to who you were before all of that, it's all the same, right? And when we were all quiet in here, when we were all in stillness, did you notice anything about the room? It was empty. You know, it was Buddha's realization. What was his realization? There is no self. You know, all the things that he was looking for weren't there. You know, it was his aha moment was after he'd been looking for tens of years and starved himself and tried all these different traditions to become enlightened, he realized there was no enlightenment. There was just the illusion that he wasn't enlightened already, that we are all enlightenment. We are all the source having the experience in this body. When you think about it like that, it takes a lot of pressure off of you, doesn't it? I mean, it takes a big load off of you when you know you don't really have to do anything. You don't really have to be anything, and it's all going to be all right. What's the Indian movie? It says if it's in all mythology, if it's not all right, it's not the end, you know? And is that not true? I mean, think about it. In a big picture, all of us, we get lost in thinking our lives are so important, so all-consuming, all there is, you know, and whoa, when I die, who will I be? Well, you'll be back to where you were before you were born, right? So, and then maybe you'll have another experience, you know, and maybe I'll be Urta next time. Who knows, you know? So it kind of makes a fun ride out of it, actually, and it takes a lot of the pressures and responsibilities out of our life to let go. It's not so serious, you know. This is not as serious as we make it out to be. You know, we start to worry and we pile on our anxieties one after the other and thinking about, well, I gotta insure that, you know, gotta have insurance, you know, and I need a good lawyer because somebody might sue me, you know. And so, and we keep inventing all these ways to insulate ourselves rather than just let go. Just let go. What's so hard about that, you know? What's so hard about that? And all the benefits that come with that, I think you'll be amazed, you know? Just try it. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for anything. If it doesn't work for you, then it's no good. It's no good to you, you know? So the simple way to meditate is just wherever you are, any time of day, relax. Let your arms relax. Let it go. It's not that serious. It's not that big of a deal. You know, we're just human beings making lots of mistakes, walking around, acting like we're somebody when we're all nobody. We're all nobodies, you know, and the sooner you realize that, the better off you are. You know, there is no such thing as status. That's an illusion, you know. And if you watch TV, you know, they're selling you one thing after the other to be somebody you're not. You know, it's all, oh, if I get that, I'll be really big. You know, and then you get all of this stuff. And then what do? You sit there and you look at it and you go, hey, I'm still unhappy. In fact, I'm more unhappy now than I was because I'm worried about all this stuff. You know, who's going to watch it while I'm in Florida? You know, and then you got to insure it. You know, you got to get a lawyer to protect it. You know, you got all of these responsibilities, you know. Well, maybe we should simplify. Maybe we should just simplify our lives a little bit. And try this for me, if you will. Let go as many times as you can every day of your life. Let go. Just let go. You're at a red light. Let your arms down. Let your hands drop off the wheel. You don't have to think about it. There's nothing so important as to stress yourself over it. Nothing. Nothing. Just remember that little voice. Am I at ease? No, I'm not at ease. I'm tense. My shoulders are up to here. I'm gripping the wheel like a monkey, you know, thinking this traffic is unbearable. You know, what are these? These are thoughts. It's the little guy in the head going, this is awful. These snowbirds need to go home. This is too busy. Our streets are congested. There's no way. I can't get to my yoga class. I can't get to church. I can't get here. You know, it's all just a story in your mind. It's just that voice in your head. And when you start to watch that voice in your head, you're going to start to chuckle because they're all just stories. They're all just one story after the other. Why we can't be happy now. You know, oh, I'll be happy when I get this, or I'll be happy when I graduate from school. I'll be happy when I make that $1 million. I'll be happy when I get a Porsche, you know? I mean, and if you live your life that way, it's no wonder you're never going to be happy, are you? Because it's always going to be another carrot out there somewhere on the road that you got to get to. So it's another thing to do. Well, meditation is the total opposite. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is just let go. Just let go. Let go. Relax. Be nobody. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Nothing better than being nobody. When you're nobody, you got nothing to lose and nothing to defend. You know? It's real easy. It's real easy. In fact, you'll find yourself grinning a lot, you know, and walking around loose. Your muscles will be like, ah, okay. Yeah, you know, it's pretty darn easy being nobody. I like being nobody. It's nothing to please. Nobody to please, nothing to do. Make sense? Quit looking. You own it. It's yours. All you got to do is just stop, relax, and enjoy it. And you are a Buddha. It's that simple. It's really that simple. Don't buy another lecture. Don't buy another book. Practice your meditation. You know, sit down at some point during your day and really give it a true 5 or 10 minutes. No more than that. 5 or 10 minutes. In the morning is a really good time to do it. And just relax your muscles. Put all of your awareness on your body first. The quickest way to slow down a busy mind, in fact, how many of you think meditation is stopping the mind? No? Good. You're one of the best audiences yet. Most people think, oh, I got to stop my mind. Well, I can't stop my mind because my mind's always talking about everything. It's an endless cyclone of things. And it's true. So what you have to do is you are not your mind. You're the awareness. And that's the key. That's the big realization is you are not something. You are pure awareness. And you can test yourself with this right now. Who are you? You know, where do you live in the body? Where's your location? I mean, you can cut off parts of your brain even, and you're still there. You can lose your limbs, and you're still there. You can lose major portions of what we think we have to have or who we are, and you're still there. The one thing we all know, as Descartes said, is we're here, right? We're having this experience. But who's having that experience? You know, when you really pinpoint it, that's where meditation's all about, is you're going in to find out who is this I that has this experience of being Steve Gillum. You know, and it's not the person that you think it is, because it's not a person. It's nothing to do with all of my achievements, the schools I went to, the parents I had, the places I lived. It's none of that stuff, you know. It doesn't matter. It's who you are in essence. You know, the part of you that was there before I had this body, when we went back and tried to remember what it was like before we were born, that's it. That's who you were. And that's who you still are. But right now, you're lucky. Your awareness is in a physical body. So you're having this wonderful experience. Maybe some of you not so wonderful. But you don't realize that it's your choice. It can be wonderful for all of us, especially if you don't take it too seriously, you know, and realize this is my ride. I'm in control of this. And I'm going to enjoy it. Best way to enjoy it is relax. Relax. Enjoy it. Let go. Be free. You know, so what? It's a great term. So what? Who cares? You know, it's important to be a little flip with your life. You know, I mean, we get too darn serious. And don't be upset with that, because it's really what's taking us all to this enlightened age. You know, I think the reason that we're moving into an enlightened age is that we're all so darn stressed that if we don't know how to let go, you know, we'll perish. We'll blow up. We'll internally, it's just like a machine that gets overloaded, you know. You imagine these computers that blow up, you know, because they just can't take anymore. Well, that's what's happening to us as a species of animal. You know, we're animals. You know, we've evolved. We're evolving. We're so smart now, and our information age is taking us into this life that is so complex and so overwhelming. that our bodies are still reacting like cavemen and women. You know, we're still reacting in such ways. So it's ultimately important now to learn to get in touch with the source. And you are the source. You are the very source that you're all looking for out there. But it's not out there, it's in here. And the way to get to it is let everything else go that you think you are, and you'll be it. You are it. You never lost it, you never will. And it's always yours, you know. And if you know that, it makes you pretty fearless. And my teacher's blessing was fearlessness, unity, and bliss. Fearlessness, unity, and bliss. It's a good blessing. Be fearless. Unify with the one that we all are. When we got silent, we were all one. It wasn't 60 people, 40 people. We were all one. It's that simple. It's not rocket science. Just relax. So you want to do it again? Okay, just sit back and relax. And I want you to get good at it today so you can do this for the rest of your life. Just right now, just let your shoulders relax. Feel the ease when you let the tension go. Feel the pure joy that comes up when you let go of all the things that you think you are. And take a deep breath. And as you take a deep breath, let every bit of tension go out on the exhalation. And then go deeper. So once you get a little taste of meditation, I've yet to meet anybody in 40 years that had a bad experience when they let go. It's good for everyone. So just let go. Enjoy the moment of sitting here in a nice, comfortable room, in a beautiful environment. There's nothing to be tense about. And so many times during our day, that's the case. Our tension is all in our minds. So as many times a day as you can, just put your awareness, and I want you to notice your awareness. This is a good time to notice it. You are awareness, you're not the thoughts. So when you are sitting back looking at thoughts, it's real obvious because thoughts don't come up. You've taken the power away from thinking by moving your awareness back to where you look for thoughts. Now put your awareness in the soles of your feet. And just notice that how that happened. The minute you put your awareness on the soles of your feet, you were there, right? Put your awareness in your fingertips. The minute you notice the fingertips, that's where you are. You get information from all those nerves there. You are the creator. Now feel your whole body at once, alive with the energy that it is. If you went into a laboratory right now and looked at your body, you would see there's trillions of cells acting just like you, reproducing, breathing, doing all the things that we do. There's a trillion sentient beings in our body. And all of them want to relax. So just enjoy the feeling of being alive. Just the way this breeze feels on your skin. The sheer joy of not having to think. It's not trying to stop the mind. Watch the mind. Just observe it. Be the watcher. When you watch, the mind doesn't pull its little tricks. It can't sell you anything. It can't tell you you're not good enough. It can't tell you you need to do this. When you're watching your thoughts, you're free. And as Suzuki would say, the Zen master from California, you're the boss. When you watch your thoughts, you're the boss. When your thoughts run you, then it's the boss. So be the boss and be at ease. Let yourself come to being at ease 100 times in a day. Peter Russell is a great person to look up. He's a scientist, meditator, psychologist, and he says that if you let go a little bit, you'll have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you'll have a lot of peace. If you let go completely, you'll be completely at peace. So let's start with just a little bit. Learning to let go. Always start with the body. Relax the muscles. Then go to the breath. Relax the breath. And then just enjoy being the watcher. And as the watcher, anything that comes into your awareness, a thought, muscle tension, a breeze, doesn't matter, whatever comes into your awareness, welcome it in, just don't talk about it. Just let it be there. And just enjoy a minute of just feeling the aliveness of your own body. And feel the oneness that we all are. As we're sitting here silently together, where do I stop and you begin? When you let go, you are the source. So why wouldn't you let go more? Go back and enjoy being the boss. Go back and enjoy being at ease. Let go as many times a day as you can. And now slowly just come back to awareness of the room and your individual selves. And move in and out of meditation slowly. But don't be disturbed if somebody annoys you during meditation or if you get interrupted with a loud noise or something. Welcome it. You know, it's just another experience, and that's what we're here for. We're here to experience. So enjoy it. Relax with it. Make it fun. It is fun. Especially when you know the rules, when you know that it is all just part of the experience of being alive. And then you can take even the bad times and go, it wasn't so bad, it was an experience. You know, it was pretty good. You know, and I like this one maybe a little bit better, but that one was okay. You know, I'm a better person because I had that experience. Anyway, anything else before we turn it over to questions? Anybody have anything that they want to know about meditation?
Yeah.
I'm going to get the mic set up.
Okay.
The way we do our question and answer period, if you will raise your hands, and Deanne and I will be roving with the mics wherever you happen to be. And the reason we do this is that we do record this session, and it will be on our website. And if you don't have a mic, your astute, penetrating comment will not get on the archive. So. Let's start. We've got a hand down here. Want to take that one first, Deanna?
Okay.
Yeah. And then another hand I'll go to.
It might be better without the microphone. Then people listening to the broadcast will think I'm channeling or something.
I'm curious
Have you noticed or found out statistically whether, when you practice what we've been talking about, whether medically people have gotten to reduce blood pressure medication, things
yes,
like that?
It's proven over and over again. Every study they do on meditation shows that that's the first thing that's the most obvious, is that your blood pressure does go down, and that your heart rate begins to slow. You know, these are just real basic elemental things that, I mean, if you sit and relax, you know, if you're at the doctor's office and they're taking your blood pressure and you've just had a cup of coffee and you're nervous about being at the doctor anyway and they take your blood pressure, what do they tell you? They tell you, sit there and relax for a minute and I'll take it later, right? And if you sit there and really relax, it'll go down. But if you don't, you're worried, oh, is something wrong? And you get more tense. Then when they come back to take it again, it's right back up there again. But if you were able to relax, it went down, you know? Yeah.
Next question is here.
Well, actually, my question was the one about the credible empirical research connecting reduction in blood pressure to meditation, and you just answered that. But if I wanted to see what the research actually looked like,
well, Harvard just did a big study. I don't know the topic of it, but if you Google it, you know, meditation research, you'll probably get a multitude of things because everybody's testing it right now, you know. But one of the most recent ones that my students have given me was an article written by the Harvard Medical School about the benefits of meditation, you know. And I can tell you, my experience is that there is no health condition in the world that does not improve with meditation. Because if you watch any show, any medical, Dr. Sanjay Gupta or any of these people on TV that are telling you, nearly everything that we suffer from is related to stress. You know, almost everything is more stress-based than anything else. And in fact, if you really want to see some good research on this, go to Bruce Lipton. He's a biologist, and he did work with stem cells. He was one of the first person to do stem cell research. And what he realized was cells, you know, his research was showing him that we're genetically programmed to have these faults. If your mother had breast cancer, then your chances of breast cancer are greatly increased. And it's a genetic in your code. And he said, he realized that that wasn't necessarily the truth when he started studying cells, that cells only reacted in a certain way because of their environment. And you have to go to his site, but he's got tons of lectures on this. He's one of the most leading authorities on this. But he says that you can, through a practice like meditation, reprogram yourself even from these genetic death sentences, you know, that we think, oh, I've got this gene, you know, and that runs your stress up, you know, and increases your likelihood of it again. By programming ourselves to relieve stress and to not believe that is the easiest way to step out of that loop of your genetic programming. He said that all cells only act the way that they do because of the antenna that and they receive from their environment. When he started doing his stem cell research, he was surprised that a stem cell could be any other kind of cell. It wasn't, you know, they were just generic cells, but in the environment, if they were in an environment of bone, they would recreate bone. If they were in an environment in fat, it would recreate fat. If they were in an environment of a liver cell, it would recreate a liver. You know, and that surprised him. And he realized, you know, well, why can they be all of these different things, you know? It seems like if they're programmed, and this cell is supposed to be this, that's the only thing it should be able to do. Well, he realized it was the antenna, and it was the environment that was changing it. So we're in an environment that is changing us in our health dramatically because of our stress. We're in an environment of stress, each one of us. I mean, anytime you check and that little exercise, bam, I'm at ease at this moment, I guarantee you, every time you check, you'll realize you're not. One of my ladies in my first class at the Lifelong Learning came in the third week and said, I'm really mad at you. And I go, yeah, why? And she goes, I'm never at ease. And I go, well, you should be grateful, you know? I mean, that's a, realizing that is the first step out of it. Realizing that you are never at ease. If you don't know that, how are you going to ever be at ease? If you think, oh, I didn't even know I was never at ease, you know? Well, you don't have a chance in that environment. You know, if you know that, if you don't even know you're stressed and walking around like this and grabbing the wheel and tight and tense, you know, you don't have a prayer. When you're aware that you're stressed, then you got an option, and only then. Then you can let it go. You can just do something simple. Just let your muscles relax. Stand there in line at Publix. Let your muscles relax.
And before I pass the microphone, I just wanted to add something. I was reading a great many health things on the internet. I was kind of searching, and I found out that if you have chronic stress, which is the kind of stress where it goes on day after day after day, not the kind of stress where it hits and you're gone, you recover, but chronic stress, that it starts, according to research, that it starts actually making the ends of the nerve endings, the mitochondria, I believe they call it, actually diminish, and it's really almost impossible to ever get those nerve ends protected in the brain again. But they say meditation helps. And scientifically proven, not just an opinion. So I thought, and by the way, I quit that job. So now all I got to do is meditate and repair myself. And this is our next questioner.
You know, sometimes I fall asleep.
That's most people. Anybody else do that when you first try to meditate? Fall asleep, right? Yeah. We're stressed. We're tired. You know, the first thing you do when you get rid of that stress is go, oh, that's good. Yeah. You know, and you go right off into your subconscious mind, you know. Well, we're going into it a little more alert as you practice this, you know. And as you start to use these techniques of being at ease, what you'll find is then when you close your eyes, relax your muscles, you're wide awake. And in fact, you're more awake than you've ever been, and all of a sudden you're aware of every little nuance in your body, and you're aware of every sensation from head to foot. You know, when you practice this a while, it's like you feel great because you're in touch with your body. You feel, like right now, I can feel the life energy of my body vibrating all around. It's just like, you know, it's like this all the time. You know, your body, and especially if you're not restricting it, you know, then it's heaven. It's heaven on earth. Every day can be heaven on earth. But you've got to take control. You got to get in the driver's seat. You got to quit leaving the driving to your unconscious mind. Because your unconscious mind is taking you to a ditch. It's taking all of us into a ditch to where we're losing these synapses that protect us from stress, because we're totally giving in to the idea, oh, I got to worry about that. If I don't worry about that, it'll surely happen, you know. Well, the chances of it, the more you worry about it, the chances of it happening are probably going up, not down. You know, the reverse, the best way to get rid of worry is just to let go. You know, is don't try to rationalize it, because that's just another new worry. That's just adding another thing to do. We're letting go of everything to do and just becoming our natural selves, which is at ease now.
Next question is here.
I think you said that we have a million sentient beings in our body.
Trillion.
And you're talking about bacteria. You're talking about the bacteria.
Everything. Every cell.
Viruses.
Every single cell. You know, you are not the same person that you were 3 years ago. Every cell in your body is different than it was. All those cells are gone. So you're the new model. You know, even though we don't look like it, when we look ourselves in the mirror, you know, with the aging process, the cells that replace it have aged, you know, and they have changed their genetic structure. But science will show you that. So, I mean, and that's another thing that proves who we think we are is not who we are. Because every cell in your body is different than 3 years ago. So where are you in that stew? You know? Look in the mirror, you know. How many of you feel like when you look in the mirror, it's an imposter? You know?
Yeah.
The older we get, the more that's true, too, you know? Well, that's consciousness, you know. Consciousness doesn't age. consciousness is having the experience in this body, so it's startled when it looks in the mirror, you know, and sees, whoa, where did you come from, you know? But you're the consciousness.
Question, I noticed you didn't suggest a mantra. Is that a different type of meditation?
No, it's an effective way, you know, and I think it's probably all tools are that. They're tools, you know. You got to let them go sometimes. So I like to just go right to the heart of the matter and go, give up, let it go. You know, and an interesting thing is, you know, if you read about Eckhart Tolle, if you read about Ramana Maharishi, if you read about the Buddha, you read about all of these people, we don't know, there's not so much documentation on Christ, but most of them came into their enlightenment through intense stress. They were on the verge of either suicide or some other alternative. Luckily, there's this other alternative called enlightenment, where you let go of everything and just say, I give up. And all mythology is that, isn't it? I mean, all mythology, you know, you're getting chased by the bull, you know, and it looks dim for the hero, and he's pinned in a corner, and it's there's no way he can get out of this one. Boom, some miracle happens, right? The miracle is it's all a game, and your consciousness on a ride, and it's your ride. So there is never a bad ending.
So it's not necessary to use a mantra.
No. Bottom line is it's just another tool. It's another crutch that if you don't, the quicker you get rid of it, the better, okay. I think, personally.
Next question's here.
Thank you very much for coming out today. You said that if thoughts come to your mind, invite them in, but just don't
act run with them.
So tell us, if you can, or me anyway, about mindfulness meditation. What is your knowledge of that? I keep hearing mindfulness meditation.
Yeah, that's a popular term. It's, you know, all of these things, and that's my point about the mantras. All of these things turn out to be problems at some point. Even calling it mindful meditation, you know, I think it leads us into another problem. You know, it sets us up for another thing that we have to let go of, you know. Mindful, I like mind emptiness more, you know. Just get out of the mind, you know. Leave your mind alone for a minute, you know. Let it be. Realize that it's just your computer. It's your car, in a way, for experiencing your reality, you know. And most of your reality, in fact, all of our reality, is what our brains are telling us about it, you know. And if you want to compare that, just look at it. I mean, if you take a good example, one I thought of the other day was like, if you're a Vietnamese that lived in poverty all of your life or something, and you suddenly come to the United States and you work 70 hours a day at a laundry and you make a lot of money, all of a sudden you feel like you're in heaven, you know. Whereas an American, if he had to work in a laundry 70 hours a day, he would feel like he was in hell, right? So, I mean, you know, what's the difference? It's up here. It's all in here, the way we talk to ourselves, what we tell us about our experience, you know. Oh, I'm having a horrible day. Oh, it's an ugly day out there, you know. Well, it's not an ugly day. It's just a day like every other day, you know. It's not bad. Even Shakespeare said, nothing is good or bad except the mind that makes it so. And it's true. Once you realize that, you've got the key to get out of jail. So you can't blame it on anybody else anymore. You've got the key, and you just turn the lock, and you say, okay, wait a second, this is my reality. I'm not going to make that bad. You can say, well, of course there's bad things that happen to us. You know, we get a bad diagnosis at the doctor or something, but, you know, okay, it's there. How are you going to deal with it? You know, you're going to spend your life resisting it and going, oh, no, oh, no, and worrying about it. Oh, my God. Oh. Or are you going to enjoy the day and go on with a smile on your face and relax and go on about your day? Because it's not going to change whatever condition you got diagnosed with unless maybe because you let go, it disappears, which is a good possibility. In fact, the best possibility you have of healing yourself is to let go. Anytime you feel a cold coming on or any kind of an illness or around somebody with a cold, go home and try this technique of letting go and just letting your energy of your body flow freely without bogging it down with a lot of worrying thoughts for 15 minutes. And usually it'll build your resistance up to where you'll have the strength to ward off the cold. Your health is in your own body. Your body knows how to heal its own cuts. It knows how to deal with this stuff. We get in its way by cutting the flow of energy that creates all of those miracles in our body by worry, stress. Let go. You'll be much healthier. Yeah.
There and then over here.
You mentioned briefly about becoming a nobody and not having to prove yourself.
Yeah.
I guess I wondered, how do you get to that point? And
it's easy.
You say it's easy, but it's like I could make that decision now and 10 seconds later lose it.
Because you don't really believe it.
Well, how do you get to where you really believe it, and how does this involve
the truth,
the meditation?
First of all.
Okay.
It's the truth. No matter how much you have or think you have, or how much you know or think you know, there's always somebody that's going to know more. We're all nobodies. You know, the sooner we figure that out, the less problems you're going to have. All of these things that we think we are, just test them. If you think you're the king of Siam, test yourself. You're going to probably find out you're not, And if you think you're going to live to be 100, test yourself. You're probably not, It's reality is there, but you're letting go is the best chance you have. And being nobody is the best way to live a long, happy life. It's when we think we're something we're not. And most of us do. We're programmed into it. Just watch 5 minutes of TV anytime, and it'll tell you all the things you are and you need and that you've got to have if you really want to be a complete human being. Oh, yeah, I got to get one of those, and I need 6 of those over there, It's all an illusion. That's the illusion, None of those things, they're nice, and enjoy them if they come your way, but they could be gone tomorrow, Look at people in wartime, in World War II and in Europe, all of the people, the haves and the have-nots, they were all dodging the same bullets, They were all nobodies running around trying to just live, get enough to eat every day, And then it was only after the war that they all started to develop I'm this banker, I'm this so-and-so, I'm big muckety-muck here. It's all an illusion when it comes down to it.
Okay.
Next question's here. Can we let someone else speak?
Sure.
How do you balance the internal process of letting go, of saying, I'm nobody, and the idea that as individuals we can make a difference, that there is injustice in the world and that we need to work to change the world for the better?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's hard to grasp, because the best thing you can give the world, your family, anyone who loves you, is a happy you. That's the best gift you can give the world. If you become happy in yourself, you are like an influenza of happiness that spreads. And you don't have to take my word for this again. Just test it out. If you see somebody at a store that's in a bad mood, at a clerk at a grocery store or something, be careful, because your reaction to it puts you in the same mood, and that's what's happening so many times, is so everybody's so stressed and trying to get theirs, and I need that, and take and keep everybody else out, lock the doors, get all of this stuff, protect it, Let go of all of that, The quickest way to change the world and make the world a better place is just to be happy yourself. And let go on your own, and then people will see your happiness and go, hey, I want what she's got. And I guarantee you it's true.
I'm wondering about children. It seems like their role is to develop an ego, to become somebody. Mm-hmm. How can we teach them that they can be
nobody and still be, grow up and be an adult person.
Same as hers. Be happy yourself. Be happy in being who you are, no matter if you're rich or poor. Just be happy. Your kids will get it. They get the biggest gift of all.
Next question's here.
Happy mom.
Talked about doing these little meditations.
Yeah, they're the best.
Kind of a mini meditation throughout the day. And I'm wondering, in your own experience over the years meditating, in your routine, I think I heard you say that you find morning a wonderful time to meditate.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why you, if you prefer morning rather than evening, or maybe if you've tried both, meditating in the morning and maybe in the evening. And I'd also like to know, how long do you typically meditate when you do that in your routine?
All good questions. You know, meditation is not limited to the space. And for many years, let me start with a little story. For many years, I used to sit and meditate for like 30 minutes a day. You know, that was kind of my mark. I sit for 30 minutes a day, you know, because I'm a yogi and I'm going to meditate, you know. And then I'd be nice and calm and feeling like all realized and And then I get up and go to work, and then within 5 minutes, I'm like, where are they? You know, what's going on? You know, and get right back into the grind and forget about it until I came to the next time. Well, I realized after a long time, that's not good. I need to incorporate these things, you know. I need to bring it into my daily routine to where I'm meditating whenever I'm doing. But I usually sit for an hour at a time, and because once I started to realize these things about how it was working and got in touch with the idea of stillness is not just nothing, it's where I get everything. It's where I get all the love I need. It's where I get all of the wealth I need. It's where I get all the health I need. It's where I get everything that I ever need or want. So I got addicted to it. I'm addicted to meditation. I'm addicted to being nobody, to being still. To as many times, you give me 5 minutes, I'm going to get still. I'm going to get relaxed, and I'm going to go, okay, yeah, this is okay. I don't mind. I got called up for jury duty the last 2 years in a row. And the first time, I stressed the whole way there, you know. And then, you know, and I was driving in the dark. I had to go to Tampa, you know, and I was like, why me, you know. And I had all these stories going in my mind, and I was like, suddenly it hit me. I was like, I don't have to have this. I can be relaxed as I go here, you know, and I can enjoy every experience of it. And suddenly it was that. It was like a magic wand. Boop. It went from traumatic, horrible experience to wonderful, relaxing environment of being at peace, looking at people, and enjoying life.
How about allergies? Can medication help you there?
Yeah, I think so. There's nothing it can't help, because your health, your optimum health is when your body is like your car. When your car's got enough gas and enough oil in the right environment, and again, that word environment, when you've got the right environment, it's going to perform to its optimum. You know, nothing's going to last forever, you know, because nothing is the only thing that does last forever. But the best way to get the most out of all of it is to let it be its best. And the way to let your body be its best is to relax. Your body is meant to only run in short spurts, you know. We were designed to run for the dinosaurs and then relax, you know, and then enjoy. The trouble now is we've all got 10,000 dinosaurs chasing us 24 hours a day, you know, and so our bodies are reacting in the same way. We're shooting out adrenaline all day long. We're tense. We're angry. We're upset. We're defending, warding off. We don't have to defend from dinosaurs anymore, but we're still carrying the same defense mechanisms.
We're over here now.
I wasn't going to ask this, but I've decided I have to. to your knowledge, is there any research available on the effect of meditation on traumatic brain injury issues?
Not to my knowledge, but
traumatic brain injuries, if you couldn't hear her.
Yeah. It's interesting because here's something that hit me recently is for most people, you'll never have to ever worry about any kind of mental illness of any kind if you watch your mind. Because once you realize you're not the mind, the illness is in that portion of the body. And if you don't identify with it, it doesn't develop further. You know, now something like that, a traumatic injury like that, there's nothing you can defend against, you know, and I don't know, there's only a certain amount. The brain is such an amazing thing. I think that with, you know, like they're doing with stroke people now, that if they catch it quick enough, what happens is you can retrain other areas of the brain because this brain is such an amazing machine. It has such incredible capabilities that it can pick up and do the work. We're only using like 5% of our brain. But what we're exercising with meditation is the conscious part of our brain, which is the frontal lobes here. And that's very different than, you know, watch Bruce Lipton if you really want to learn more about those things. It'll help you a lot, I think. He goes in great depth about the subconscious and unconscious mind and the conscious mind and the effects. But there's a lot of good information out there.
And we're going to have a question over here. And I did read that it's good for Parkinson's and stroke patients.
Oh,
that
yeah.
It helps.
Definitely good. There's a lot of research in that area.
I just wanted to add something to the question that the lady asked earlier about moving, like being involved with social injustice. You can't just like turn away and, you know, sit in your room and meditate. And I think, you know, from knowing Steve all these years, that you are very involved with people, you're very involved in the world, and it's not an ascetical idea of I'm going to stay in my room and be la-la happy all the time at all.
Yeah,
in fact, it allows you to become one with so much of the world and the suffering and the joy that you're now more involved in a beautiful way. And it's not an idea of turning away from the world at all.
No, not at all.
In fact, it's the opposite.
You're more involved.
Becoming more involved. But
in fact,
the kicker is that you don't have to stress out and die in order to help.
And that's what got me to come out and teach meditation. Is that, you know, as I got to a point in my life where all of a sudden everything else kind of, you know, slowed down, and I thought, well, what do I really love the most in the world? You know, what do I love doing most, and what would be the most helpful to the world? And I thought, no-brainer. Boy, this is easy. This is the thing I love the most, and it's what people need the most. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just put an ad, you know, or put an idea out there. I'll teach some meditation somewhere. And the next thing you know, I got 5 or 6 classes going, you know. So I'm doing what I love, you know, and that's my giving back. But maybe yours is getting involved ecologically or, you know, whatever draws you. But don't get frustrated because there's a real trap in when you take on a cause to look at it as this noble cause, and that in turn it becomes obsessive, and it also becomes destructive in a way, because then you get frustrated that the world isn't doing it. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Well, if it is that way, you know, you got to accept it first and then change it. That's the key, I think, is, you know, we all have to accept the world as it is right now, but it doesn't mean that we can't want the best for tomorrow or for the next, you know, for our world. In fact, we're at a crisis right now where we're running out of clean water, clean air, and all of the things that are important for all of us to have the quality of life that we need, and we all need to get involved in that. But we got to accept it first and then change it. I'm sorry.
Over there and then here.
Oh, go ahead.
Is there any research on dementia and different forms of dementia? You mentioned frontal lobe and Alzheimer's.
Very little, but you know, I think those things are touching. There's going to be a lot that's going to come out of research with meditation and working with these. They're already doing a lot of things, but I'm not a researcher. I'm not a scientist, really. I like to read scientific things, but I'm not a scientist, and leave that to them. But I'm confident that the power of meditation, especially when it comes to healing the brain, is enormous. And I think things like Alzheimer's, a lot of times, are preventable if you start to meditate earlier. You know, if you get out of your mind, because I personally, now this is not scientific in any way, shape, or form, I think a lot of Alzheimer's is a fact of overstressed. You know, that it's almost as if consciousness gives up and moves back, you know, and lets the machine go in a lot of ways, you know. So then it's too much stress and checking out. It's like one of the other branches. When you come to that fork in the road of overstressed, you either become enlightened or you commit suicide or you get Alzheimer's or you get so many other things, you know, I think. Anyway, that's just a personal theory. Don't trust me on that, and don't dislike me for it. But I just have such a strong belief in the power of stillness can heal everything. If you go into stillness enough, in my repeated trips, I cannot go to stillness enough because it is so fascinating, so amazing, so wonderful, gives you everything you ever need, want, care about. In a flash, boom.
Can you tell me, are there any Eckhart Tolle groups in the Sarasota area?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if there are any. Start one. You know, his teachings are so relevant, I think, to our day, you know. And, you know, one of the things that I went through a long process of going to India and studying in Zen monasteries and all of that stuff, and I enjoyed it. You know, I mean, I did it because that was the major push in my life. The thing that started me off was when my father died when I was 18, and I started to have these questions about mortality. You know, what is life? What is this thing about? You know, I mean, who calls the shots? Who lives and dies? You know, and that, nothing seemed to make sense to me, and that's when I started practicing meditation. And looking for other answers, you know. But and at that time, there wasn't a lot available. Now, I mean, the world has changed so much since, when we started practicing yoga in the 70s, there was the Light of Yoga Society here, and that was about it. And now you go and pick up one of these Awakening magazines or something, you know, and there's like 10,000 places in Sarasota alone that are teaching all forms and kinds of this thing. But I think Eckhart Tolle is even stepping out another step of just being a normal kind of a living person, not telling you to wear any robes and sit cross-legged or, you know, and you don't have to do those things. You know, you can meditate just like you did sitting right here, right now. You can meditate as you're walking. You can meditate as you're driving your car. You know, I recommend it at the red lights. But once you get good at it, you're actually a better driver when you're meditating than you are if you're lost in thoughts in your head, you know, because those are the distractions, you know. You think about when you learned to drive as a kid, you were so excited about it. All of your, remember how much attention you put on the wheel, you know? I mean, you were like watching every control, you know, super cautious with your brake and all that stuff. Well, okay, we shove that over to the unconscious mind. Now we let the unconscious mind drive. We're thinking about this, doing that. Oh, yeah, I could text, I could do this, you know. And look where that's getting us, you know.
Okay, we're here.
I'm curious, having meditated all these years and made it such a part of your life, how do you defend yourself against or filter out the never-ending onslaught of electronic communications?
I don't defend. I let them in, but I don't take them too seriously. You know, I love my computer, and I love all of the new gadgets. And in fact, I think that's a wonderful age we're in. But don't take it too seriously. You know, and don't get caught up in it. It's just another enjoyable ride if you let it be. You know, and it's a wonderful tool. I mean, you can. I had to go to India to find good teachers. You know, in the 60s. You can sit down at your computer right now and get the world's best teachers, you know, for endless sessions, free, any day of the week, whenever you need them, at your convenience. You know, don't have to get a plane ticket, don't have to sit in any orange robes in a cross-legged position in an uncomfortable room with a bunch of people chanting weird stuff. It's yours.
Any other questions? Have we exhausted our possibility? Oh, one over here.
And I have one.
And one, and then one here.
Okay. We got more.
You mentioned 5 minutes or an hour. Which is the best?
If you're enjoying it, an hour. If you're not enjoying it and you're sitting there after 5 minutes thinking, oh, I got to get this, I got to do that. Oh. And all of a sudden you catch yourself going, because all of the things that you're sitting there supposed to be relaxing and enjoying, and if all of a sudden you're being more worried and thoughtful about what you've got to do the day, then get up and go do it, you know. And as you're doing it, meditate. And that's the key. That's when it really becomes a part of your life, is as you're cutting your vegetables for your soup. Instead of thinking about all of that junk, step back mentally, you know, and stepping back. You don't have to sit in a cross-legged position to step back. It's any time of your day, while I'm talking to you right now, in the middle of talking to you right now, I just step back. Internally, I just let go like that. You know, so you can do it. Let go of the thinking, you know, just let go of the doing. And we're so involved. We're cutting our vegetables, but we're cussing out the guy that cut us off in the traffic jam, you know, as we're, you know, and we're more likely to cut our thumb off because of that, you know. Because we start to increase the rapidity of it. So make everything a meditation. You know, at every red light, relax your shoulders. Let everything go.
I came across on YouTube last night the Alvin Watts videos just by happenstance. You know,
they're great.
When you search, things come to you.
Yeah.
Just ask Google or, you know, others.
Yeah.
And my question is, would you enlighten me a little bit on him? Because I'm unfamiliar with him, and he made a reference to only some people have color TV.
Yeah.
So I knew it wasn't really modern.
I'm not sure when he died. Yeah, he was a famous. I don't know a lot about him personally, really, except for watching the YouTube videos and things. And I did read a couple of his books back in the 60s or 70s. But he made his living lecturing about consciousness and Zen and all of these things, you know. And he's quite an elegant speaker. He's really fun to listen to. I recommend him highly. But yeah, he did die at a fairly young age, I guess. I'm not sure what from or when, but it's, you know, he's awesome.
He was very entertaining, and I felt so much better after watching a few of those. It was amazing how much better I felt.
He makes such common sense, you know. It's just Alan Watts. Alan, A-L-L-E-N, W-A-T-T-S, Alan Watts. And you know, look on YouTube. There's a gazillions of his lectures because he was very good, and so many people are very kind and taking whatever they recorded of his and putting it on YouTube. And it's just you can entertain yourself for weeks. And Eckhart Tolle's got a lot of things on there. Bruce Lipton, Peter Russell. I recommend Peter Russell very highly. And Tom Campbell, another real interesting man. Tom Campbell is a scientist that worked for NASA his entire life. But he's also a meditator, and he's a scientist and a physicist. And he comes at it from a little different way. But it's all of these things are kind of meshing. And that's the exciting age I think we're in, is we're in this enlightened age where science meets spirituality, where meets practicality on every level, and it's in our living rooms and it's in your lives, and all you got to do is just pick it up and enjoy it.
We're up there and then down here.
Stephen, you're such a gift to us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Arthur.
Okay, down here.
Hi. I think I agree with everything you say, except maybe the Alzheimer's.
Don't do that.
I just wanted people to know that we have a meditation group here at the church that meets every Sunday night.
Oh, good.
At 7, and we focus on the Zen side.
Uh-huh.
So we might light a candle and do a chant, but
yeah,
I think that's as far out as we get.
I love it. You know, I mean, do what you like doing. And I recommend, I mean, if you've got the time and really want to immerse yourself in meditation, go visit a Zen monastery and try their routine for a while. You got to sit for a long time, but one of the best times of my life. is the 2 weeks I spent in a Zen monastery in New York State. It was an authentic replica of the one in Japan, and it was amazing. Oh, you're so fortunate. It was the best 2 weeks of my life in a lot of ways. I mean, it was just like you don't have to think about anything because you can't talk. So after a while, you know, the little voice in your head gets tired of this ping pong match that goes on. It's got nobody else to bounce it off of, so you become really aware of your own internal dialogue, and you realize what junk it is, that you get tired of listening to it, and you suddenly surrender, and you go, oh. And then everything around you comes to life, the trees, the beauty of this monastery, just the sounds of the woods, everything just like gets turned up, and you're like, oh, this is heaven. I think so. You know, nature is one of the best teachers of meditation there is. You know, anytime you want to get quiet, just walk to the window and look at a bush or a tree. They don't have any trouble. They just go, they're relaxed. The wind blows, they go like this. The rain comes down, they get wet. They don't even try to move. It's just, they teach you.
Next question over here.
It seems to me that concept you've presented today.
Could you hold it closer?
Okay. That the basic concept that you've presented today should be a requirement in the curriculum for all healthcare providers.
I like your thinking. Should be in every school. You know, this is what we need to be teaching, you know, is how to deal with the stress of life, you know, and keep it non-theistic, you know. It's just a matter of fact, you know. We're stressed. We're overstressed. And whether you find spiritual, I think everybody who goes inside will find a wonderful spiritual treasure in there, but it'll be theirs. It won't be any other label that you need to put on it. It won't be needing a temple or any kind of robes for it. You know, it's yours. You enjoy it the way you enjoy it and love it.
You've used the phrase letting go. I would like to suggest a synonym for that and have you evaluate it. Be at one with what is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question over here. How is the best way to share what you've learned or what we're learning with our friends and our relatives without being a know-it-all, bossy, I know better than you?
Like I said before, relax. When you're with them, let your muscles relax. Don't try to even tell them about it. Just become at peace yourself. Just get in peace and ease yourself, and after a couple of weeks, they'll start to ask you. They'll say, "What are you doing? What's your trick? What do you got going? You know, something's up." Let them ask you, and then that's the best way: is not to try to teach them, but just let them see it and get curious on their own. Oh, that you look like you're enjoying life more. And I see so many of my students at Lifelong Learning. After 2 or 3 weeks, they come in and I look at them, and they're like, it's like a light bulb that just gets brighter. You know, it's like when they first used to come into class, a lot of them, you know, they have this kind of heavy thinking about everything, doing all this. In the 2 or 3 weeks in the class, all of a sudden they start to, yeah, you know, things are.
They're mirroring you? Do they mirror your body?
I don't know. Probably, you know, I mean, that's what we do is, you know, if you see something that you like, we generally emulate it. You know, if you see someone who's easy. That was me. My biggest, you know, the thing I learned most from my teachers, more than anything they ever taught me. In fact, most of the time I really preferred it if they just shut up and just did what they do in their garden, you know, in the way they would walk and the way they would carry themselves and the way they would talk, because they were always at ease. When you looked at them, they just looked like they floated on air. You know, so I mean, it wasn't their teaching that sold me, it was them that sold me. It was their peace, their at ease, their beauty of the way they could go through life and just be unaffected in so many ways, you know, or so accepting of everything and so loving of everyone, everyone. Real test of a true master is, are they at ease and do they love everyone? Not just a few, but everyone, yeah.
I think we've come to the end. Stephen, we're very happy to have your presentation today. Let's show him how grateful we are.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you. I hope you use it.
2 weeks from today will be the next in our cooperative series with the Lifelong Learning Center. Can you be a free thinker? You've been here today. Maybe we're not supposed to be here because we're not free thinkers, really. But we'll see that. Paige Brown will bring us a presentation on that topic. Thank you all for coming.
I'd like to mention one other thing, too, if I could. At the Garden of the Heart, I teach on Sunday mornings, which is, it's free. You can donate if they ask for donations because they have to pay for the lights and things there. But you're welcome to come and not pay. It's 8:30 every Sunday morning. You can come sit and meditate with us if you wish at the Garden of the Heart on Tuttle and Ringling. So,
thank you. Yeah. And again, thank you all.